Would you turn with me to Job 19? Job 19. In verse 23 and 24 of Job 19, Job said, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever." Job desired more than that those words might be written on a piece of paper. He desired that his words, the words that we're getting ready to look at right now, those words that were actually an expression of his heart, out of the abundance of a man's heart, his mouth speaks. Job wanted those words to be to him an assurance of God's everlasting covenant of peace toward him in Christ. I want to know that. I want to know that God Almighty has had mercy on me. That the Lord has looked upon me in Christ. What Job was about to say proceeded from the assurance that Almighty God has eternally joined him in electing grace to the surety himself. If the Lord's done that for me, I've got all hope. I know this. I'm secure. Oh, may it be that truly, that not only for Job, but for this sinner, and I pray that you say this for yourself, that these words be graven with an iron pen and lead, God's promise to show mercy to his people in the rock. Now that expression, graven with an iron pen and lead, sets forth symbolically, you know that, the promise of the Lord to his people in the Lord Jesus Christ. Job had no comfort anywhere else. Job 19, 13 to 19, he said, "He hath put my brethren far from me. Mine acquaintance are verily estranged from me. My kinfolk have failed. My familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house, my maids, count me for a stranger. I'm an alien in their sight. I called for my servant. He gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body. The young children," that is, the margin says here, "the wicked, despise me. I arose. They spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me. And they whom I loved are turned against me." All outward comforts. Everybody had turned against him. And humanly speaking, Job, humanly speaking, was brought to the end of his rope. And he cries out concerning his only hope. "This is all I got. He is all I have." The one that Job could find some comfort in. Here Job was, his substance, his kids, his health was gone. The sole of his foot, crown of his head, just oozing boils. Took a piece of pottery, scraped himself. Mr. Gill said, to either relieve the itching or to remove the pus. Pitiful, pitiful. Everything taken away from him. Everybody turned against him. At dire straits, you know, humanly speaking. All of these things, Job did not accuse God falsely, didn't charge the Lord falsely. I think what mercy, what grace. And Job cried out, "Is all my hope right here. This is all my hope right now." Verse 25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, preserves and maintains," that's what it says, liveth. Oh, he's alive. "I know that my Redeemer," it's wonderful to know that there's a Redeemer, but that he's my Redeemer, that he's redeemed me. Scripture, back in Leviticus, hold your place right there, Job 19. Turn to Leviticus 25:25. Here's the law concerning the right of redemption. Here's the right of redemption. Leviticus 25:25. "If thy brother be waxen poor and hath sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold." Now this is the law. This was the law. If one was brought to poverty, had to sell his possession because of being brought to that state of poverty, then a kinsman, and the nearest kinsman, had the right of redemption. No hindrance could be made. If the near kin comes, he shall redeem. He shall. If that kinsman was willing and able. You remember when Ruth, Naomi, and Naomi had made a stipulation in her will. And here was the stipulation. Her piece of property could be redeemed by the near kinsman. And there was a closer than Boaz. There was a closer than Boaz, nearer than Boaz. But here was the deal. The one that was the nearest kinsman, he was able. He could do it. But you know what the stipulation was? You get Naomi's property. But you got to take Ruth too. And you got to marry her. He said, "I'm not going to be able to do that." And it fell to Boaz. Had to be willing and able. The nearest kinsman. The price of redemption had to be to the nearest of kin. Oh, what a beautiful picture we see concerning the one who from all eternity has stood as the near kinsman redeemer of his people. The Father had chosen him a bride, gave him, and that bride fell in Adam's rebellion. Lost everything. What'd you lose? Well, number one, she lost life. I know that. In the day you eat thereof, you're going to surely die. And die she did. Man's born spiritually dead. If the Spirit of God ever teaches a man that, a woman that, that'll end all this, you know, self-will stuff. I don't have any ability. I'm spiritually dead. How can a dead man react and establish righteous and get something from God. He's dead. He's dead. He lost life. He lost the presence of God. God expelled him out of the garden. Lost the presence of God. He lost his freedom. He's bound in trespasses and sin, the bondage, and is in need of redemption. Lost his security. A man outside of Christ, he's bound up to Satan. And without God Almighty showing mercy to him, he's going to hell. I need a redeemer. I need a redeemer. Because I can't do anything. You take another human being. What's another human being going to do for me? I can't do anything for myself. What are you going to do for me? I remember Scott telling me one time that some young fellow came up to him and said, "Are you saved, brother?" And Scott said, "If I'm not, what are you going to do about it?" That's true, isn't it? What are you going to do? I need a redeemer. I need one willing and able. What is another dead sinner going to do for this dead sinner? We're all as an unclean thing. Vile. Let me tell you why. I can't do anything for myself, and no one else can do something for me as being born in Adam. Because of the price of redemption. Let me tell you what the price of redemption is. Death. I'm a sinner. What is the wages of sin? What's the price? Death. The wages of sin is death. I needed a near kinsman. I need a near kinsman. I need a man. I need a man, Neil. I need a man to redeem me. I need a man. As a man, I rebelled against God. I need a man to redeem me. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Word Himself, was made flesh. I have in Him the near kinsman. I need one that can satisfy God for me. I need one that can answer for me before God and accept me in Him. For God Almighty to look upon me in my near kinsman, in my Redeemer, and accept me on His merit. That's a miracle of God's grace that can be. That's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take. And I'm telling you, it's going to have to be so. God Almighty's just. If there's any unrighteousness here, if there's anything not fair here, it's not going to fly. Not before God. It might fly before you, but not before Him. I need a redeemer. I need a near kinsman. I need a man to answer for me. In Him, I have a redeemer. And Job, by the grace of God, said this, I know. Boy, that's a settled thought. I know it. It's not that if I'm unsure if he's able or willing, I know according to his word, he'd give me a heart to believe him. I know that my Redeemer has satisfied the justice of God. He died being made sin. I don't understand all the fullness of that, but I can tell you this, based on that wording, He was made what I am, hanging upon that cross. He was made sin. And God Almighty forsook him. And he died. Justice was satisfied. I know that. I know that. I know that he walked this earth and established righteousness, obedience. You understand that word? Obedience. He obeyed God. He obeyed God. And established righteousness that I couldn't. I couldn't do that. In word, in thought, in deed, he never thought anything. How do you know? Because God said, "This is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased." You hear him. He said, "I do only, always, those things that please the Father." I tell you one thing, he never deviated in prayer. I'm thankful. Oh, God Almighty has given a Redeemer to his people. Job said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." And I tell you, that's not all Job knew. I tell you what else he knew. I know this. He's coming back. I know that. I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. I know that. I know this. My Redeemer, right now, is in the heavens. And he's done whatsoever he hath pleased. I know that. He's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. I know that. How do you know? God Almighty told us that in his word. And God cannot lie. I know that. I know this. I know he liveth. He ever liveth. Ever maintains. Ever sustains his people. And I know this. I know he's coming back. I know he is. The one that walked this earth in the days of his humiliation. The one that calmed the sea. The one that raised the dead, fed the 5,000 men plus the women and children. That one that ascended up into heaven, they had been talking to him. He was standing there. He had told Thomas, he says, "Thomas, look, touch me. Look at these hands. Look this right here in my side. Put your hand right here." He said, "I'm not a spirit." He was flesh. He was flesh. God in human flesh. And they watched God in human flesh ascend into heaven. The clouds received him. "You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus." Right now, the Lord of glory, our Redeemer, there is a man seated on the throne of God right now, ruling and reigning in this world right now. And let me tell you what, he's coming back. And I can tell you exactly where he's coming back to. Zechariah chapter 14. I tell you where he's coming. He's coming back to the very spot that he left from. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4. Now let me tell you what God has to say about him coming back. Zechariah 14:4. Now listen to this. This is as plain as it can get. "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and on the Mount of Olives shall cleave, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward south." I know this. I know that he's coming back according to this prophet. Under the inspiration of God's Spirit, his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. Well, where was he when he left? Turn to Acts 1. I can tell you exactly where he was. Acts chapter 1, verse 9 to 12. Part of what I just quoted. Acts 1. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. A cloud received him out of their sight, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Where did he leave from? The Mount of Olives. Where's he coming back to? The Mount of Olives. Job said this, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." But that's not all. Job knew that the Lord was going to resurrect him. Job 19:26, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." I said a few minutes ago, Job was quite aware of the frailty of his flesh. He was just covered with those oozing sores, scraping himself. And he knew that he was going to die. And he knew that worms were going to strip whatever was left of that skin from his body. I know that's what he said. "Though after my skin, worms destroy this body." But he says, "Yet, in my flesh shall I see God." The believer, all men are going to rise. But the believer is going to rise first. Those that died in the Lord are going to rise first. Paul said, "We that remain on this earth, we're not going to precede them. We're going to come out of that grave. And we're going to come out of that grave changed. I know this. It's going to be an actual resurrection. It's going to be a changed body. This mortality must put on immortality. This corruption must put on incorruption. I know that. But according to this word, Job said, "Yet in my flesh," a resurrection means that the body that went in came out. Same body. The body in which our Lord died is the body that He came out with. Now, somebody could say, well, then explain to me how it's going to change. I don't know how it's going to change. But I know it's going to change. Because the Lord said it was going to change. That this mortal, I'm getting older. I mean, that's pretty obvious. I can look and see that the effects of sin takes its toll on us. And we're getting older. But I can tell you for a fact, in my flesh, Job said, in this body, with these eyes, changed but these eyes, with this hand that just turned that book, those pages right there, this hand right here, these feet that I'm standing on right now, in my flesh, Job said, shall I see God? I'm going to see my kinsman Redeemer. I'm going to see Him who sees me. Look at 1 John 3:2 as we close. 1 John 3:2. 1 John 3:2. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear It's going to, but it doth not yet, what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're going to see him. Job said, I know that my Redeemer, my kinsman Redeemer, liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. Mine eyes shall behold, and not another. That's going to be somebody else looking for me. It's not going to be a new creation. Not a new creation. Job said it's going to be me. It's going to be me. The me. Changed, but me. Though my reins be consumed within me. That is, my heart is consumed with the anxiousness and anticipation of seeing him. In that day, no more by faith. Right now, there's so many things we don't know. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know. I know it's going to be this flesh. I know this corrupting flesh is going to put on incorruption. What will we look like? I don't know. But I can tell you this, though that doth not yet appear, I know this. I'm going to see him. I'm going to see him. And I'm going to be like him. And his will is going to be fulfilled when he said, Father, I will. John 17:24, I will. That those that thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Oh, Lord Jesus, come quickly. For Christ's sake, we pray.